Are y'all having a good night? Well, praise the Lord. Well, I guess you can sit down if you can. You know, sometimes if you just start sit in a restaurant or somewhere where there's people, and you just start to eavesdrop on their conversations, you'll find out that they're talking about the climate that we living in. I'm talking about the climate of political climate, all of that kind of stuff. And they're wondering, well, what's going to happen next? And, you know, many questions about life and future. Now, I don't know whether any of you were born during this time or not, but when I was growing up especially in the 50s and the early 60s, you know, people were wondering if the world was going to come to an end and how safe can it be, because communism was trying to take over the whole world back at that time. Many of you may not know that, and it looks like what's trying to happen in our country today, but that's another story. And you know, people were really concerned about that, but we got to realize that every generation has had a lot of these same questions. You know, what's the future look like? What's going to happen to us? And I want to look at the 8th chapter of Romans tonight, where Paul asked some questions that were the real issues in his day for the Christian, and they also pertain to us today. And we're going to start out in Romans 8:31. I'm going to read Romans 8:31 through 37. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. As is written, for your sakes we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Now, if you noticed in these verses, there are five questions that concern the people of the day. And these five questions actually focus on the basic needs of us all. Knowing the answer to these five questions will help you in your walk with Christ. Now, let's look at this. The first question that these questions and answers apply to us today. Now, the first question is in 8:31. For if God is for us, who can be against us? And let's just read the whole verse. What then shall we say to these things? God is for us, who can be against us? Now, the Voice translation says, so what should we say about all this? If God is on our side, tell me whom we have to fear. And the title tonight is, God is on your side. You know, when I was in grade school, fourth, fifth, and sixth grade, well, we would play football. And back in that day, we had a morning recess, and then at noon, and then we had a recess in the afternoon before we got out at 4 o'clock. We started it at 8. And we would play, we shouldn't have done it, but we did anyway. We'd play tackle football on the playground. Now, You always wanted to get on the side that Harry was on. Because Harry, he was this strong. He was a little taller than the rest of us. But you could, he would have four or five guys hanging on to him, and he's still going. So you won't be on Harry's side because they couldn't hardly get him down. Well, God is on our side, and you want to be on that side. Now, actually, when you look at this, this is a question about security, which is the basic need of everybody. Everybody wants, everyone needs to know that they're safe. The question is, we've got to settle. Can God really take care of us? The Bible is very explicit in its promise to protect those who walk with God. In Psalms 91, 1 through 4, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High abides in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Now, many people don't understand that. He shall cover you with his feathers. If you've ever been around chickens, and a hen had chicks. Anybody ever been there and seen it? And those little chicks will follow her. But if a hawk comes flying over, she will begin to cluck in a certain tone, raise those wings, and all those little chicks will run underneath her, and then she'll just squat down and cover them with the wing. And so the hawks will come down, and they'll get the little chickens. Y'all might not know that. Really, if you got a hawk around your house, that's great, because he'll come down and get all the varmints that are in there, you know. In fact, we see hawks out by our place all the time. Also, I drove up here a while back, and on my gate was sitting two owls and one over on the tree. I can hear them. I can hear the owls. I like having owls around, because when you have hawks and owls around, you don't have a lot of varmints, because they take care of those critters. All right. So he will cover. He'll deliver. He's safety. You see, we need to realize that when we're in trouble, we can realize that greater is the one that's in us than one that's in the world. 1 John 4:4, we know it. You're God, little children, overcome them, because he that is in you is greater than he that's in the world. Now, notice in verse 31, he goes on, if God is for us. Now, actually, he's making a statement in a question form here. Paul actually is saying, he's really saying this: since God is for you, no one can successfully come against you, is what he's saying. You know, God is on your side. He's not mad and trying to get you. You know, a lot of people, that's the way they think of God. They think God's trying to get them. Truth is, if he was against you and trying to get you, it'd already happened. See, no matter what happens, God is on your side. He is your protector. He will keep you safe. Now, let's look at the second question in Romans 8:32. It says, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now, let's read that from the NIV. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Now, when we're looking at this and thinking about this, this is actually a question about provision. And again, that's a basic need of all of us, provision. Here, we are given assurance that He will provide for us. See, He will not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things. We need to settle the question in our heart that God is our provider. You know, people say it all the time, God will supply all your needs according to your riches in glory. You know, sometimes I hear people quote that. I wonder if they're just saying words, if they really believe that. Because if you listen to them talk for a minute, it doesn't seem like they do. My dad used to say, Kenneth E. Hagin, one of the greatest men of God that ever walked on the face of this earth, and the greatest father, as far as I'm concerned. He used to say, don't just take what people say right off the bat. Listen to them talk for a moment, and you can tell whether they really believe what they're saying, or they're just saying that because they know that's what they're supposed to say. Hello now. You know, people quote that, but then the way they live and act and talk doesn't seem to say that they believe it. Notice, God gives freely, not grudgingly or sparingly. James 1:7, every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. See, because Jesus came and died at Calvary, and we have accepted that salvation, now God can freely give us everything that He's promised in the Word. Not because of who you are, but because of who Jesus is. See, a lot of people read the scriptures and they don't get some of these things. And this may be something different than you've ever thought in these scriptures, but I thought it was pretty good myself. You know, 2 Corinthians 1:20, we know this, we quote it all the time. For all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God through us. And of course, amen means so be it. Now look what the psalmist said here in 37:25, Psalms. I have been young and now I'm old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. Here is what the psalmist is saying. He said, I was young and now I'm old, and I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. Now some say, oh yeah, but they're talking about the descendants of Abraham. Wait a minute. Go back and read Galatians 3, the whole chapter, starting all the way through verse 7, all the way through 13 and 14, and then the last verse in 29. And in that chapter, it specifically says, we that have been born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ have become the descendants of Abraham. It, not physically, but spiritually. So then, if he's saying that to the Israelites back then, and you realize that the Psalms was the Israelites' prayer book and song book. I don't know whether y'all know that or not, but it was. In fact, you can put many of those Psalms to music, and it's very melodious. In fact, that it's been done with several of them. Now, you know, Everybody knows, or if you know my read his stories or heard him ministry, you know that he got healed on the bed of affliction at the age of 16. Never heard anybody preach on healing or talk about healing. He started reading the Bible. And he started in the New Testament. And he got down to Mark 11, 23 and 24 and walked off the bed of affliction. So we never had any problem getting healed. That's easy. But when he left that last church and went out on the field to travel, I'm going to tell you what, for about 4 to 5 years there, it was rough sledding financially. And me and mom and my sister, we're at home, and my sister cousin that came to live with us when she was 16, and we ate cornbread and beans during the week, and we sure were glad when Sunday came because we got a roast and some potatoes and gravy. And I'm not going to go into all of it. So Dad began to talk to God about all this. He said, listen, he said, I'm out here, I'm doing what you told me to do, and my family's struggling, we're all struggling, struggling just to make enough finances to get from one meeting to the next meeting. And then God began to tell him that you get your finances the same way you get your healing. Actually, it's the same way you get anything from God. And he had a CD, and actually it was a tape, and it was in a series, and then it was, and I had him pull it out and put it on a CD. I don't know whether they got it on MP3 or not, but I don't know whether they put it on MP3 yet or not. Faith by Saying It for Finances. But anyway, I know it's on CD and it's out there. If you still, anybody still got a CD player? You know what? The other night we were looking for something, and we were in a closet, and I said, "What is this?" And she pulled it out and said, "What is this?" I said, "I think that's a CD player," and it was, and the cord and everything's there. It is a great teaching on for finances. How many of you have ever heard that? Hold your hand up. If you would recommend these that have not, wave your hand like this. I see some people waving two hands. It is one of the greatest, simplest teachings for finances that I know. But let me say, the same God that took care of the children of Israel, which were the children of Abraham, is the same God that can take care of his children today, us. If you'll learn how to believe him and trust him. Now, let's look at number 3. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It says, that's the question. And he goes on and says, it is God who justifies. The NLT says, who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has given us right standing with himself. Then the voice says it like this. Can anyone be so bold as to level a charge against God's chosen, especially since God's not guilty verdict is already declared? Actually, when you look at this, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It actually is a question on your standing or your right standing with God. Every believer needs the assurance that they are and right standing with God. That's one of the devil's favorite ways to get to people, to begin to say, now, all right, you know, you might have got saved, but do you think that you are really a good enough person to be talking about stuff like this? You start entertaining those thoughts, and before you know it, you go the wrong direction. Hello. You know, every believer needs the assurance that they have right standing with God. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him who knew no sin, Jesus didn't sin, to be sin for us. He took sin that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. Right there, if we know who we are in Christ, we can immediately say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. It's a simple question with a simple answer. The Bible calls the accuser of the brethren the devil. He will try to challenge are you in right standing with God? Can you believe you can be that and talk to God like that? But you're just an old human. Look at all that you've done. That's when he comes at you in your mind. That's when you got to, you know, he'll bring all your mistakes up. But that's when you got to declare, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. You know, another thought. When the devil brings up your past, hey, just remind him of his future. Paul declared, it's God who justifies. And if God justified you through Jesus Christ, who took the punishment for us, what we deserve, so that we might have right standing with God and have the righteousness. You know, there's an old chorus we used to sing in the charismatic movement. I don't know whether anybody sings anymore. I owed a debt I could not pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. Anybody ever sung that song? Yeah, a lot of people. It used to be real popular back in the, 70s and 80s, I guess it was. You know, but it's truth. He paid a debt he didn't owe for us. Jesus did it all for us. He was the perfect sacrifice that restored our right standing with God, humanity's right standing with God. And you have to get into the teaching, go in back in, and realize that Adam walked and talked with God, and then he sinned against God and did what God told him not to do, and he got thrown out, and therefore the devil got control. But because Jesus came, now we can once again talk with God. Not like Adam did. He walked and talked with him in the natural, but we can do it in the spiritual. Okay? All right, I'll go on. That's another question. I don't have time to teach on that. Then number four, he asks, who is he who condemns? We'll read the whole scripture. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. NLT reads it like this. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ died for us and was raised to life for us, and he's sitting in a place of honor at God's right hand pleading for us. Now this is the question of being accepted. And everybody likes to be accepted. Nobody likes to be rejected. In fact, many times when teenagers now, in order to be accepted, they will compromise their Christian values to be accepted. Don't look at me like that. All of y'all been in the same spot. You just trying to forget it. Hello. You got selective memory. How many of you remember of having to make a choice whether to be accepted or to stay with God? Anybody ever been there? Yeah. You see, it is, we, you know, some people got the wrong idea about God. You know, they think God condemns, and you, if you make one mistake. The truth is, if you study, you'll find out he made provision for forgiveness. Some people look at God as a harsh judge that's sitting looking for reasons to send somebody to hell. Oh, yeah, I said that word. You're not supposed to say that word anymore. It's not good to say, but it's true. There is a heaven to gain, a hell to shun, and you better find out about it for now, because now is the only time you can do something about it. Where are you going to end up? Somebody said, well, what if there wasn't a heaven and hell? I don't know, but I'm going to tell you what, I'm not going to take a chance. You know, God made a way for you to have right standing with him. Some of them look at God as a meanie, wants to punish everybody. No, God wants to provide redemption for everybody. You know, the woman was caught in adultery, he said, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. Now, wait a minute. God does not condone sin or excuse it. He solves the sin problem by leading the person to forgiveness through his blood. We must understand God loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. That's why you can say that you love some people, but you don't love what they're doing or how they're living. Come on now. That's another subject to preach on too. You know, Paul's answer to all this is very simple. It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who even at the right hand of the Father makes intercession for us. Now, I like there in the voice translation in verse 34, this is the last part of the verse. It says, he pleads on our behalf. Then that puts Jesus in the seat of an advocate or an attorney who argues a case for somebody. That's Jesus. You see, when we ask in Jesus' name, Jesus said, you hear him, Father? They're asking in my name. Now he's telling the Father he's got to do something about it. Hello. Paul is saying here, anything you bring to God and put under the blood will have Jesus arguing your case. I think he'd be a pretty good attorney. Now the fifth one, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, peril, or sword? Then I sort of like how the voice says it. So who can separate us? What can come between us and the love of God's anointed? Can troubles, hardship, persecution, hunger, poverty, danger, or even death? The answer is absolutely nothing. Now, this is a question on love. Everybody likes to be loved, and everybody needs to love somebody. Now, here, okay, all of these things are given that people might think can separate them from the love of God. Troubles, hardship, persecution, hunger, poverty, dangers, even death. The truth is, God promised to love us no matter what. In fact, He loved us before we ever even accepted him. He sent his son to die for our redemption. But it says, for God so loved the world. Hello. I like that on that voice translation. Absolutely nothing. That nothing, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Now let's look at how Paul ends this chapter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, I'm going to read the voice again. I look at a lot of different translations when I'm looking at Scripture, and if I find one that sort of says it a little more in our way we would say it, I like to read it. But no matter what comes, we'll always taste victory through him who loved us. Now, the New English translation says, no, in all these things we have complete victory through him who loved us. Now, I like this one, the complete Jewish Bible. No, in all these things we are super conquerors through the one who loved us. Now that sounds more like our language, right? Sounds more like we would talk today. Super. You know, we got the Super Bowl and we got super this and super that. Whatever. You know, the point that I'm trying to make out here, that our life is in Christ's victory, so we have victory. That's the way we should look at it. Some people are trying to get victory. Well, you're trying to get something you already got for. Hello. Actually, we need to know that we live our life on the basis of Christ's victory that he got for us when he died on the cross and rose again and went and sat down at the right hand of the Father. Now, you need to look at every situation in the view that Christ has attained the victory for us. Too many get up caught in the trap to try to take care of it by themselves. Well, you can't do it by yourself, but you can do it in God with the Holy Spirit. You know, you may not know what the future holds, but I know this. I am secure in Christ, just as all these scriptures that we have read right here. I am secure in Christ. And there is nothing that can separate me from that security, from that protection, from prosperity, from anything that I need to live this life called the good life. He called it that you might have life and have it more abundantly or to the full, or we might say a great life, or you might say a fantastic life, or you might say a glorious life. It, no matter what happens, I am secure in what I just read from the 8th chapter of Romans. And we need not be anxious or afraid of anything. God is on our side. Everybody stand up. Trust you got something out of what I said tonight. I thought it was, to me, it was pretty interesting. But hey, sometimes, and I've read those scriptures before, but I've never looked at it in that light. And I got the idea of that from something else. And so that's how that came about. Hallelujah. Did you get anything out of this tonight? Hallelujah. Remember, no matter what happens, you're always secure in Christ Jesus. You got to believe that. And he will provide and he will protect and so forth. We got to spend a lot of, you could spend a whole 30 minutes on each one of those if you wanted to, but I didn't. I just wanted to go the whole thing. Hey, if you're in our midst tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, or you happen to know what it is to serve God, but you have sort of got off course and messed up and you just need to come back and rededicate your life to God, or you'd like to receive the Holy Spirit. According to Acts chapter 2, verse number 4, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance. Or you just need prayer for something, anything, whatever it is you need prayer for. As we're dismissed, you can come down here. The ladies are over here. The men are here. And they'll pray with you. This is our prayer team tonight. And they'll pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. Let's everybody raise your hands and thank God because of who you are in Christ and what you have in Christ. Thank you, Father, for all that you've done for us. I thank you that you never leave us nor forsake us. You will see us through every obstacle, every trial, everything. I thank you for it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. So be it. Hey, Sunday morning right here. Come believing, come expecting. Amen. If you need prayer for anything, salvation, rededication, Holy Spirit, healing, anything, come to the front. They'll pray with you right now. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday.